Welcome, CUSA fans. Welcome back to another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, and we have finished a great first weekend of football season. Week one is in the books, and we are going to talk all about that today, a couple more things, and then we're going to preview week two of football season for Conference USA. So let's get to it. Joining me here on set, we've got Josh Yonas back again. Josh, thank you so much for joining me to talk some football. It's a lot better having you here. No one wants to listen to me just talk about football all day long. People probably don't trust what I say half the time anyway. So the expert is in the house.
Oh, yeah. Expert is hardly the best term to use. But, you know, happy to be here. Happy that we kicked off and we're going. And it was a lot of fun.
So. It was definitely a lot of fun. Well, let's take a couple of minutes to recap what happened there in week one. Obviously, we had two teams that started in week zero, so they already had a game under their belt. But all 12 of our teams in action in week one. Let's start with Thursday. We had two games that fired off on Thursday. Delaware State, UCF, Jacksonville State. I know we have a lot to say about that one, but let's go ahead and start with Delaware State, their first FBS win as a FBS school.
Yeah, it was kind of fun to have, you know, them as one of our first games of week one, just to get a taste of, our newest member on hand. And, you know, it was a tough start to this game. They were delayed an hour because of weather, and the weather did not cooperate throughout the night. It was pretty drizzly throughout the game. And then on the opening possession, you lose starting quarterback Zach Marker to what I fear is probably a season-ending injury. But fortunately for the Blue Hens, Nick Minicucci comes in and plays his just mind out the rest of this game. And, I think he completed almost, 75-80% of his passes. He was extremely efficient throughout the game, led this Blue Hens offense. And I think just getting that first win, it was a little bit of a struggle at first against Delaware State. I think they were a little extra fired up. It was their first game under head coach DeSean Jackson, which for anyone who remotely followed the NFL, you should recognize that name and the talent that comes with it. So obviously he brought a lot of dudes into that program, but Delaware takes care of business. Like I said, Minicucci finished 28 of 36, 251 yards, 3 touchdowns. Also led the Blue Hens in rushing, had a touchdown on the ground too. So it was a fun start for the Blue Hens. I think there's definitely some work to be done. They have a big test. We'll get into recapping this next week, but a big test playing a Colorado team, playing Prime, all the, everything about that program. But it was a good start.
Yeah.
Good start.
For sure. And we talked about this in our Delaware preview, but Nick Minicucci already had some playing time. It's not like this was his first time under the lights, not his first time on the Delaware field. They were familiar with him already. So, like you said, unfortunate for what happened to Zach Marker. Wishing him the best. I hope you're wrong that it's a season
yet.
Injury. But if it is, Nick Minicucci obviously showed that he can get out there and play for the Blue Hens. So the other game that was also delayed on Thursday evening was UCF Jacksonville State, which up until the fourth quarter there, things were going great. We were excited. There was a lot to be talked about in this game, but it just didn't go the Gamecocks' way.
Yeah. There was definitely some things in this game that are some positive takeaways. It was definitely encouraging. I think these kind of games, when you look last year, the last past couple years for Conference USA, have traditionally not gone like this, a 17-10 loss, right? And feeling encouraged after a loss. But, that was how I felt about this one. And with Kennesaw, we'll talk more about them in a second. But, they moved the ball well. I like some of the pieces they added in. Cam Cook, the running back position. We talked a lot about him with Mark Edwards and with Andrew Paul. Shout out Mark Edwards on Twitter because he said Andrew Paul was also going to be an important contributor in this Jack State offense. He obviously scored their one touchdown later on in the game. But the defense was flying around. They were making good plays, and it really came down to a handful of plays in that fourth quarter. You think that maybe they get a first down, and in a Charles Kelly style, they continue the tempo offense. They run right up to the line, trying to get a playoff on fourth down. This is obviously me being the armchair quarterback,
right?
But you watch that and you can't help but think, well, maybe if you'd waited just a little bit, called a timeout, forced a review, could something have changed? But, when I do appreciate his commitment. You know, it's very Dan Campbell-esque, right? I mean, everyone last year, or a couple of years ago, whenever, you know, they lost a game going for it on fourth down, and he said, hey, look, this is our identity as a team. We are going to go for it on fourth down. We're going to play fast. We're going to play hard. And, you know, they did that. And so you got to credit them there for sticking to the way they wanted to play this game. And unfortunately, you know, they can't convert on fourth down. UCF goes and scores on a big play touchdown, which is something that, you know, the big plays weren't coming, you know, very often for either team in this game. But yeah, it was a tough one.
Yes.
A really tough one.
Like you said, it was very encouraging. I think that Jacksonville State fans kind of, you know, the takeaway from that game, we just really didn't know what they were going to look like. A lot of newness, new coaching staff, new quarterback, new, you know, a lot of new.
Yeah.
And so I do think it was really encouraging to go out against a Power Four opponent and to lose just by one score. I mean, like you said, there's been a lot of times in the past couple of years where you take a game like this and we would love a one score loss.
Right. And your takeaway is the paycheck, right?
Yeah.
That's the only thing to say.
And another team that almost took away a paycheck and a W was Friday night, Kennesaw State versus Wake Forest. We talked about this one at length in the office today, after the holiday. That was so tough. Tough loss there for the Owls.
That one hurt a lot more just because, again, you know, Jack State and UCF, yes, there were those moments we talked about that, you know, if it had gone this way, that way, whichever. But ultimately, you know, I think UCF made the plays they were always going to make, and Jack State just kind of fell short, right? This one, I feel like all of us lost a little sleep over this one because it really came down to two mishaps early on in the game. You miss a PAT, you go down. You know, after Wake Forest scores on their opening drive, you answer with a quick drive that was super exciting. I mean, I was floored.
Yes.
I texted their SID. I texted Trey and Judy in our office, and I was just like, I've never seen. Now, granted, this is only Kennesaw's, you know, second year in the conference.
Right.
But we had never seen anything like that first drive because just the tempo was so unlike Kennesaw. They were passing the ball, which was just, you know, we talked about just the way that Jerry Mack was going to make over this offense and all the new pieces he brought in. I really liked what I saw from Dexter Williams.
Me too.
I think that he is going to make a lot of really impressive plays down the stretch. When we get into league play, I think he'll really start to shine. But yeah, I mean, they score on this first drive and then you miss that PAT. And ultimately, I mean, before we get to the second mistake, I mean, that one right there is a difference maker, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that means you're going to overtime. And so you miss the PAT, you miss another field goal later before you inevitably change kickers, and you just can't help but wonder, you know,
what could have
been freshman kicking at the beginning, you know, would he have at least made the PAT? Would he have made the field goal that could have potentially won them the game? That one really stung. This one was just a weird game because, like I said, both teams scored on their opening possession, and then everyone just seemed to keep stalling out throughout the game. And what I thought was interesting, the broadcasters kept bringing this up. Both teams play tempo offense, and they continued to play tempo offense even though they weren't moving the ball. No one just stopped to say, hey, let's huddle up. Let's take a break. Let's kind of catch our breath a little bit. They just kept pushing and pushing. And yeah, you know, it comes down to, again, a couple tough plays at the end of the game. And you're just kind of left to throw your hands up a little bit.
Yeah.
But again, I think there was a lot to take away from, you know, again, from both of these games with new coaches, new personnel on both sides of the ball. You have to feel very encouraged. And I think especially with Kennesaw, I really liked, you know, I love the video they put out about this motto on defense, the
hit them
thing, hit everything that moves. Right. And you saw that intensity throughout the night. They were making a ton of third down stops continually, just getting the ball back, you know, for their offense, bailing out, you know, some of these other mistakes. And then even with, you know, they had a blocked kick, there was just a lot of plays that they were making that, again, in year one, we just did not see this kind of intensity outside of the Liberty game, right?
Right.
From the Owls. So I'm really excited. You know, they have another tough test with Indiana this week. You know, this is their chance to show, hey, that wasn't a fluke. We can stop the big boys so that when you get to league play or even when you get to some of these other non-conference games, you know, they got a date with Arkansas State later on in non-conference play. Now I look at that game as like, that's a winnable game.
Yeah.
That's a game, or at least a game that they need to win.
Mm-hmm.
That I otherwise would have been like, you know.
Toss up,
it,
yeah.
Right. But yeah, That one hurt.
Yes.
But other action on Friday, you had FIU, another coach or another team with a first year head coach that got their first win. Congrats to Willie Simmons on that one. That was another delayed one. I'm glad that, you know, that weather just finally moved through on Saturday and we were able to play everything as scheduled. But FIU came out, and, you know, we were talking, and I don't know, maybe we shouldn't draw too much attention to this. But again, when you're comparing the past to now, FIU historically has really struggled in these FCS games. Mm-hmm. They've had a couple near losses. Last year they lost to Monmouth.
Yeah.
But I bring all that up to say that they came out and raced out to a 28-6 lead and eventually won 42-9. So they said, hey, we're not messing with that nonsense this year. We're playing a whole different kind of ball. I think the intensity is there. Obviously, we know what they have talent-wise with Kewon Jenkins, Keyshawn Owens, some of these receivers that I think really started to shine. But I think this running game is what's really going to stick out for them because, I mean, it was an all-hands-on-deck running game. You know, Keyshawn Owens obviously was leading the way, but Devontae Lyons, Anthony Carey joined in on the fun. They each had, you know, about 50 yards and had a touchdown each.
So. Yeah, and one of your notes from this week that I loved seeing was 456 yards of total offense and almost an even split between the rush and the pass. So I thought that that was really interesting because, you know, we talked about a lot about Kewon Jenkins before we got the season started. Talked a little bit less about the running back room, maybe just because we weren't so sure about what we were going to see there. But obviously 233 on the passing side, 223 on the rushing side of the ball. So pretty much an even split there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we kind of knew with Keyshawn Owens, just because he has been there a couple of years now, I think what they need to build on here is they need consistent production out of Keyshawn Owens because Kewon Jenkins is not going to carry them throughout this year. I mean, obviously he's still going to be, I think, you know, on his way to another 3,000 yard season. Or I shouldn't say another, I think it'll be his first 3,000 yard season, but they're going to need a lot more help from this running game to, you know, kind of complement each other. Because when you get in those games where, you know, if you play a defense like Kennesaw, where, you know, you're constantly getting pressured, or, you know, you're playing another defense where you just can't get the, you know, the pass going, you're going to need something else to lean on. So yeah, definitely encouraging to see that, hey, they have equal talent here to be able to move the ball in different ways. But
all right, one more to cap off Friday. Unfortunately, it was another loss for us, but UNLV at Sam Houston, a 38-21 final score. There were times where it looked a little bit worse than that. I won't lie to you. But I don't know. What did you think?
You know, this was one that obviously, you know, we had two really big non-conference games between that one and the Utah State UTEP game where we had a chance to, you know, get a win over another G5 conference. And I felt better about this one just because I was still somewhat encouraged by Sam Houston against Western Kentucky. I think Western Kentucky is just that much better this year. But so this was kind of the chance to see, all right, you know, how do they come out? And, you know, the first few drives with Hunter Watson weren't going as planned. And so Phil Longo makes the decision to bring in Mabry Metoyer. From the get did not go well. Now I didn't totally agree with making the change there. You know, I think Hunter Watson was, you know, far and away your best player on offense in week zero. And to kind of bail on him in that moment, I was like, eh. And then again, hindsight 2020, you know, Metoyer ends up throwing a pick six that I think completely flips this game because it kind of, you know, got it a little out of hand, for Sam Houston. Because then you fast forward, in this game, I mean, Sam Houston had a slight chance to come back. It was 31-21. UNLV goes on and scores another touchdown, kind of puts it out of reach. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm not ready to give up on Sam Houston. I think that the talent is there, you know, with a new coach, a lot of new guys around the offense, around both sides of the ball, right? I mean, because, you know, defensively, we talked about how they had zero returning starters.
Right.
And they're still trying to kind of find their identity there, find out who their stars are going to be. It'll come in time for them. Obviously, it doesn't get any easier. They got to go to Hawaii this next week. Then they have Texas. And then, yeah, you know, it's a grind in this non-conference slate. But when they get to league play, you know, I still think that there's, you know, four or five winnable games here. So now, you know, if you go get this Hawaii game, it kind of surprised some people. Then you're still talking about them being, you know, a bowl team at the end of the year. But yeah, I mean, that was a tough one.
I'm not giving up on them either. I still think they're just figuring stuff out. You never know that mid-season form once we get get there. I still think that they've definitely got four or five conference wins that they could rack up, and then hopefully you get one in non-conference and you find yourself in a bowl game at the end of the season. So we will see. Yep. We're not giving up on you, Bearcats. I promise. All right, let's go ahead and get into Saturday. We had, let's see, is it seven matchups on Saturday, and some really good flashes of brilliance. I don't know, where do you want to start? Because for me, I think I want to start with WKU, but I'll let you go where you may.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of talked about how, I mean, everything's there for him, right? I mean, we now know what we're going to get from Maverick McIver. There's no doubts about whether or not he's going to step in with the, you know, I've kind of talked at length, it's in my notes, about how, you know, it's the same script, new chapter, right? That they bring in an offensive coordinator and a quarterback from an FCS school, and it is paying off.
Yep.
They're averaging 400 passing yards a game. They have 9 passing touchdowns through 2 games. Like, they're good.
Maverick
good.
McIver had 275 yards of passing offense in 2 quarters.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at halftime, yeah, he was putting up numbers that kids would dream of having in a full college football game. Yeah, 275 yards, 5 touchdowns, which was the most in a half, actually, since Austin Reed had done it late in the year in 2022. So another great name that he's following in the footsteps of in that WKU signal caller role. But yeah, I mean, they scored touchdowns on 6 of their first 8 drives in this one. They had 338 yards at halftime. They just easily put away North Alabama, which, you know, obviously we expected them to do.
Sure.
But again, you look at that. I mean, that's a score that, you know, a Power 4 team is beating, you know, FCS schools by.
Right.
So they are leaving no doubt about what their identity is going to be as a team this year. That is going to be, you know, high octane offense. They're going to be a bend don't break defense. You know, I felt like every now and then I'd tune in when North Alabama was on offense and they were getting the ball down the field, but again, only comes away with, you know, with 2 field goals in this game. So, you know, I'm really excited. Obviously, we'll talk later. We finally get their first big test this weekend.
Yes.
To find out where they really are. You know, I assume Maverick will continue to make plays for them and score points at will. But it's really going to come down to, as it always does with their defense, you know, we know that they've relied on, you know, being the turnover tops in the past to stay in games, to get the ball back and put more points on the board. That's going to be one where, you know, we're going to find out if they can still manage to do that. But
all right.
Yeah, big win for the tops. You know, just kind of highlighting some of the other FCS games here. Liberty overcame kind of a slow start in that one. Flames quarter.
Fourth quarter Flames, yep. Baby.
I know that the Flames fans were a little nervous in this one, but you know, it was just, this is how it started last year against Campbell. They were kind of slow out of the gates, and then you get to that second half, the other team gets worn down.
Mm-hmm.
Defense did what they needed to do to keep in this one. And you know, again, there's just, I hate to keep talking about how much newness there is in the league, but this is what, you know, we were expecting in week one, is, you know, a lot of just slow starts because it's the first game for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of guys that are learning how to play together, you know, still learning playbooks, whatever it may be. But,
yeah.
You know, ultimately, when you look at the final box, you got to feel pretty good about Ethan Vasco. He accounted for all 4 of their touchdowns. He had 3 touchdown passes, ran for another one. He ran for 63 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, a running quarterback has been key for them in the past. So, and then moving on to La Tech, another one, kind of a slow first half, got, you know, 1 field goal there at the half.
Right. But blamed them, ended up with a 0 on the scoreboard on the other side. So.
Which, against anyone is impressive
because
you get late in the game and to keep a team that, you know, in Southeastern Louisiana is a, you know, respectable program, to keep them off the board is obviously very impressive. The linebacker trio for La Tech is something to watch out for.
Yep.
We talked a lot about Colby Fields last year. He's back for them. But this year it was Makai Mason, who had a monster first game, 9 tackles, 4 solo stops, 4.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, and a pass breakup. I mean, he was just everywhere making plays.
Yeah, and he was our defensive player of the week this week? Okay.
Defensive player of the week. And then Sifa Leota, who we talked about. Love the name.
Love the name.
Great one. Also had a great game for them. So, yeah, I mean, they have a great 3-headed monster there, kind of in the middle of their defense that will continue to make plays. I was honestly a little bit surprised when they came out on offense. I was fully anticipating Evan Bullock to be QB1. Really didn't. honestly didn't know that there was a quarterback competition. And when we talked to them so early on in our series, because we thought that Evan Bullock was, you know, the shoe-in, and weren't really talking, you know, about there being a quarterback, competition, but, you know, comes out and I'm like, okay, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
You know, and by the game's end, they were moving the ball fairly well. Kind of relied more on the run later on in the game. But, you know, I'd be interested to see if that sticks or if it was just kind of a, you know, hey, we're going to throw someone out because it's a, you know, an FCS game. But,
you know, it's interesting that you say that. This is CUSA Insider, so we do the insider information here, right? So during my interview with Sonny Cumbie at Media Day, I asked him a question about Evan Bullock, and he made a face for a second to where I thought maybe I said Evan Bullard or, like, the wrong name. And I didn't. I went back and watched it. I was like, no, I said his name correctly. And I'm like, I wonder if he knew something then, and he just wasn't giving me any information. Yeah. So that was that's my tidbit for that doesn't really do anything. But
well, I'm glad that it wasn't just me.
No, but it wasn't just you. So yeah, but that was a great win for Louisiana Tech. Let's round it off with the other win, and then we can just, you know, skate over the losses here really quick. But Mexico State went out, beat Bryant 19-3. Obviously also a slow start for them, but they pulled it out. Any takeaways from that game?
Yeah, I mean, it was big fourth quarter for them to pull away in that one. I think, you know, we talked about it in the office today, you know, really liked what we saw from Logan Fife. He made a couple of really impressive throws. So, you know, it's week one. Everyone's playing, you know, pretty simple playbook. They don't want to give away anything, you know, too insightful. But, you know, they got a big one against Tulsa this week. So I imagine they were kind of just like, yeah, let's just get through this one. Yeah. And then we'll really kind of roll some stuff out next week now that they have an idea of what the offense will look like. You know, but yeah, he looked great. You know, it was just kind of, you know, they just got it done.
Yeah.
There wasn't, you know, a whole lot of takeaways in this one. Defense looked great, but, you know, really need to see them against a team like Tulsa this next week to, you know, kind of make a real evaluation of them. But they got the win, and that's all that matters. So, yeah, I mean, looking across some of these other games, UTEP, you know, isn't kind of the same way. You know, obviously the outcome didn't go the same way for them, but really like what we saw from Malachi Nelson. He had a great touchdown pass on the opening drive. And I think it was just a, you know, tough environment for them to play in. I know Utah State, they get a really good buy-in from their fans, and I'm sure the environment was just tough for them.
Yeah.
But, you know, excited to see kind of how Scotty Walden can continue to build that program and win some games in conference play and hopefully in non-conference play too. And then, yeah, Missouri State, you know, kind of figured that they were going to get roughed up a little bit at USC. But, you know, did see some flashes there. You know, Jacob Clark got his first touchdown pass, you know, for them as an FBS school, and their first FBS touchdown. So hoping they can build on that. They've got a big one against Marshall this week. Mm-hmm. We'll kind of see, all right, you know, what are they really, right? Because it's so hard to tell when they're, you know, you get beat like that against a team like USC.
Sure.
But yeah, so overall, you know, it was 6-6. It felt like a very 500 week.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good, a lot of bad. But you know, I think there's still some good to build on, and you know, feeling a lot better about some of our other non-conference games coming up because of what we saw in some of these games. So yeah,
you know, it could be worse. You could be an Alabama fan like me.
You know, I tried so hard. I tried all this time. We haven't said anything. Even my intern, Elizabeth, who is a Florida State grad.
I was waiting for her to say something to me.
Has not rubbed anything in to Sarah today. We, you know, we just really gave her her moment of silence.
Thank you. You got to laugh at yourself sometimes. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, week two, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But, you know, hopefully we see you better than 600 week. I don't know. I mean, it's 500 week. Yeah. 6-6. Not 600
week.
Not 600 week. 6-6 weeks better than 500. But we will see. We have a fun new segment that we're going to talk about. So we are going to share
new to the podcast.
It's new to the podcast. Yeah. This is true. If you follow us on social media, just Conference USA on social media, then you've seen this before. But we are going to run down our top five plays of the week now for you. Number five, Cam Franklin scoop and score against Southeastern.
Yeah, and this was like huge turning point for Southeastern in that big second half that we talked about. You just felt like this defense, as well as they played all night, they needed a big turnover like this, get 6 points on the board, and then, you know, they went back out there, continued to pitch their shutout throughout the game. So,
yes.
Yeah, this is a great one.
All right. Number four, Keyshawn Owens, rushing touchdown.
Only going down at the two. Oh, no, psych. Now, he just rumbles his way in. I mean, this is what I love about, you know, the big boy running backs. We'll get to another one here in a second.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Maverick McIver, 78-yard touchdown pass to KD Hutchinson.
And shout out KD Hutchinson. He was on the, you know, the Athletics freaks list. And these are the kind of things that you expect from him. He's a, you know, kind of a smaller bodied receiver, but he will make some insane plays. He's got great balance to be able to stay on his feet for some big play touchdowns like this.
He's
you can definitely
gone.
Expect more from him like that.
This is the one you're waiting for.
One. Oh, this is so exciting in the moment watching this one. Coleman Bennett just sheds the defenders, rumbles in for that first touchdown. Man, I was just so excited after that one, just seeing how well that Kennesaw State offense moved. And to see, you know, just the grit and, I mean, man, like.
This is like a joystick touchdown. It's like,
yeah,
oh.
Yeah, that's it. Let's go.
I loved it. All right, here's our number one. Kyle Duplessis, one-handed catch. Oh, it's beautiful. Wait till you see the replay angles. They are fantastic. I mean, look at this.
Just oh. One hand diving right on the sidelines. I mean, yeah, just the incredible vision there, the great hands to be able to pull that one in. You know, we were talking about this one live on Friday, and I mean, I could pull up the text. I literally told Dane and Eric, I was like, yeah, that's going to be on top plays. I figured it was going to be number one, but I was like, I'll hold that. You know, it's Thursday.
Yeah.
I'll hold that hope that maybe there's something else on the other 2 days. No, that one's stuck, and it was still number one. So
love it.
Shout out Delaware. First top plays of the year. They are number one in their first year in the league. How about that? And they got an offensive lineman of the week.
Yeah.
They're already raking in the honors.
That's
so
awesome. I love it. Well, we have top plays segment for you each and every week here on CUSA Insider. So be tuned in for that. Well, coming up next, we have a great interview with WKU's Matthew Henry. So stick around for that. It'll be an interview with Josh and Matthew coming right up.
Welcome back, CUSA Insider fans. We are joined now by WKU wide receiver Matthew Henry from there in Bowling Green. Matthew, how's it going?
It's going great.
All right. Already off to a hot start to the year. One of the few 2-0 teams in the FBS. You guys have been blazing the scoreboard so far. What has been the key to how you guys are clicking so far?
Just really maintaining our focus throughout practice Monday through Friday, just having that winning mentality, just going into Saturday and stuff like that. Just know we have teams in front of us and stuff like that. And just staying focused.
So for those who didn't watch in week zero, you definitely missed a good one against Sam Houston. You kind of got it started with an insane acrobatic touchdown catch. Was that kind of the moment that you knew this year was going to be really special?
Not really. Just knowing, like, it was all. I just thank the man above, like, just knowing that he just gave me a highly gifted talent. So just knowing that catch right there, that was not nothing major to me. Just knowing that it's more coming this year.
Let's talk a little bit about your background. You started off at Livingstone, went to Western Illinois for a year. Now you're up at the FBS level playing for Western Kentucky. What has that transition been like as you've moved up the ladder a little bit? And how is, you know, kind of your preparations changed for the game?
Just really, like, it's been a lot. It's been competition and stuff like that. Just knowing to take my talent more, even higher and higher and stuff like that. Just knowing that I can, more coaches and stuff like that can develop me at each level and stuff. Just getting me ready for the next level. So just really coming from D2 to FCS and then now FBS, it's been a good experience and stuff like that. Just knowing, just getting to know coaches and stuff, just developing my game just to get me ready, just to get ready for the next level.
When you were making your transfer decision to come to Western Kentucky, how important was it when you see, you know, just the branding that Western Kentucky has in Conference USA, and then also just the ability that they have had to put guys in the NFL? I mean, we just saw Malachi Corley, wide receiver out of WKU, come out just a couple of years ago. He's on the Browns practice squad right now. So when you see that kind of stuff and realize that could be you, you know, how important was that to choose the Hilltoppers?
It was very important. Like Coach Hilton told me, we sat down and on my visit and we had that one-on-one conversation. We had looked each other in the eye and he kept it real and said, like, just the background of Western Kentucky and stuff, like the how many people that have got drafted out of here, like you said, Melika and stuff like that. So that conversation I had with Coach Hilton, he told me like, one year can change your life around. And he said, I could be that next guy that get drafted out of Western Kentucky. After that conversation, that was my decision that I'm finna be a Hilltopper.
What part of your game are you most proud of to this point in your career? And then what do you think is something that you're still looking to grow on throughout the rest of this season as you wrap up your college career?
I'd say like the good things is really tracking the ball, like going to get everything, just really going to get everything out of the air. So like, and some things I want to develop on, is really like just remaining humble. Being more physical and more, getting more separation. Cause you know, on the next level, the window gets smaller and smaller. So really just them two things is really being more physical on the perimeter and, getting more separation.
When we've talked to Western Kentucky, we've talked plenty about Maverick McIver, but we obviously wanted to give you a chance to get on the show, talk to us a little bit about yourself. But you and Mav just seem to be kind of clicking already. You got great chemistry on the field. What's the chemistry like for you guys off the field?
It's very tight. Like off the field, we just hang out, watch a little bit of film, just watch like the mistakes we had in the game, some of the stuff we like miscommunicated and stuff like that. But I say that's my boy.
If you had to describe you two as a duo in one word, what would it be?
One word to describe us is, that's a great question. Cause it's a lot of one words that I could describe us, but you said just one.
You can throw out a few. You can throw out a few if you want.
I'll say dependable. I say a brotherhood for sure. That's really I have at the top of the mind, but dependable and brotherhood for sure.
I like it. You went for the good, you know, moral ones. I was kind of expecting you to jump out and say electric or, you know, whatever, but I'm sure you guys are gonna have plenty of plays like that too.
Yeah, for sure. It's more coming this year.
What's something about Maverick that maybe we haven't got a chance to learn about him so far in the times we've talked to him?
That he is really humble for sure. Like whatever after the game and stuff, he ready to put the game to bed and worry about the next opponent and like just really like having the mentality of like let's win, not just on Saturday. Like let's win the day. In the meeting room and stuff like that, just knowing that, like, this the year, like, we have to put, like, WKU more back on the map. So, like, that's really it.
All right, I'll ask a few more fun ones, just get to know a little bit more about you. Who is the toughest DB that you faced in practice?
The toughest DB? I won't say I don't have a toughest DB, but, you know, all our DBs, it's solid. So like we go, it'll be some days in practice we'll go at it this and that, but I won't say a toughest DB, but all our defense is solid. It's tough.
I like it. Standing up for the whole group.
Yes, sir.
If you could take a skill from one other player on the team to add to your game, what would it be?
More knowledge.
All right. Who's the one dishing out the most knowledge to you on the team?
Quarterback. Quarterback, and I say the coaches. It's never like you can never take too much knowledge. So like just having more knowledge, it'll be awesome.
Nice. What's first on your game day playlist?
I say probably Young Jeezy put on for my city.
Nice. It's a great one. What about some other pregame rituals, things you got to eat before a game? What else do you got to do to get fired up and locked in?
Nothing too major and stuff like that. But, you know, something I go to, like, before the game is Waffle House, something like that. You know, they open 24/7, so, like, that name going to be attached to me soon enough. So, you know, Waffle House would be a number one go-to.
You're out here trying to sell that the NIL deal with Waffle House. I like it. what receivers in the NFL or just in college too that you try to model your game after?
It's a couple I have in the NFL, like speed wise, I say Tyreek Hill. Like tracking the ball wise, I say AJ Brown. Hand wise, I say Jamar Chase, and like the route running, I say Davante Adams.
Pulling out all the big dogs here. I like the confidence. And maybe this will kind of, you know, lead into this next question. Build your dream wide receiver room of guys. Could be past, present. Again, it could even be college guys. Who's in your dream, you know, four receiver set?
For sure. I'm going to say Megatron for sure, because that's what they used to call me when I was little. Because, you know, just going up, getting the ball, and then attacking the ball in the air. Speed-wise, I say Tyreek Hill, you know, the cheetah. The route running, I say either Davante Adams or Amari Cooper. And I'll put a little bit of Antonio Brown, just, you know, the toe-tap king. So that's really it, for real.
That's a good one. That's a great group right there. All right, so let's get in a little off the field stuff with you. What's your major? What are some of your aspirations when if football runs out, you know, whenever that happens, what are you looking to do afterwards?
My major is general study / business, and my aspiration is, you know, just NFL / CFL, whatever God's got plans for me. But, you know, if, you know, football don't last that long, but really just trying to get a good job. But I say probably like a business guy, just switching up the flow, like business attire and stuff, like suit and tie, just NIL or an agent or something like that, just working, dealing with money and stuff like that. Cause, you know, I'm a business guy, so like I just want to switch up the flow, suit and tie, just want to address dealing with marketing and stuff like that. So like really that's my aspiration and stuff like that, just working with college, NFL, next level and stuff like that.
All right. Are you the best dressed one on travel base? You the one with the drip?
Not really. I just come prepared for the game and stuff like that. But I could throw a little something on, but you know, I just come ready to play.
There you go. Humble. I like it. Well, as you guys prepare for this next week, you got a big one at Toledo. Obviously you weren't there for the game last year, but for those who watched, you know, an incredible game, came down to some of the, you know, last minute plays in the fourth quarter, gearing up to be another big one. They had a close one against Toledo in week one. Obviously you guys have a great train running for you right now, being 2-0, but as you guys prep for this one, you know, just what's the vibe around the locker room?
Just really winning, just going 1-0 every day. Like just having that mentality to win in the meeting room, win in practice, just knowing we're going to it's going to be a good game this week and stuff like that. And it's going to really just come down to fourth quarter and the 5 minutes, like who can control the ball that game and stuff like that.
All right. As you look down the rest of the season, what are some personal goals for you and goals for the team that you're looking to help them achieve?
I just want to have like break the receiving touchdown and receiving yards from last year. That's for sure. My personal goal is just really just want to have that legacy once I leave here from WKU, so I could just come back and everybody just knowing that everybody know that that's Matthew Henry right there, just having that legacy once I leave. And another goal is just really just putting up 2025 on a stadium for a Conference USA championship. And that's really it, just really leaving a legacy here.
All right. All right. Anything as fans, you know, continue to learn about you, what's your message to the WKU fans for the rest of the season?
Just really, if you don't know me, come to the game or watch the game and you will know me.
All right. That's awesome. Well, Matthew, thank you so much for joining the CUSA Insider Podcast. Best of luck this weekend and the rest of the season. Who knows? Maybe we'll be talking to you again later on when you guys are chasing a conference championship or even at the conference championship in December.
For sure.
Thank you so much to Matthew Henry for joining us here on CUSA Insider. We've got some more fun stuff in the program, so don't go anywhere. We're going to talk a little bit of women's soccer and volleyball before we get into our previews for football in week two. So let's get started. We want to start with women's soccer first, volleyball. Where do we want to go?
Let's go volleyball.
All right.
So first on my notes here. So, and we're fresh off opening weekend. So, you know, we're more pumped up about that.
Right? Yeah, that's right. Let's go.
No, we're equally pumped up about all our sports. That's what I meant to say.
That's right. Exactly. It was also the opening season or a weekend for cross country. Don't forget.
This is true. Yeah, we had our first cross country athletes of the week today. So it's just we're full swing in fall sports season. But yeah, big weekend of volleyball. UTEP and Liberty both went 3-0 in the opening weekend. Kind of, you know, we expected them to be towards the top of the standings. Another one, WKU. Obviously, be remiss if we didn't talk CUSA volleyball and didn't talk about them. Went 2-1. They've got a big one coming up this weekend against number 25 Dayton in this Marquette tournament. So a chance for them to, you know, they still started 2-1, dropped a 5-set match to Drake that, you know, we were like, okay. You know,
yeah.
That one should have been one that, you know, they had, but chance to bounce back against that one, but had a couple big wins against Power 4 teams too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's been a really great weekend for CUSA volleyball. Liberty beat Big Ten foe Rutgers, which is great for them. Starting off 3-0, I know UTEP and WKU got talked a lot about when we were talking about CUSA volleyball, but good to see Liberty come out 3-0 in their first weekend of play and beat a Big Ten opponent. So should see some really good stuff out of WKU. I know that obviously dropping one in the opening weekend, that's got to be tough. I need to like see if we can find in our notes the last time that's happened. I mean, maybe saying some Power 4 opponents or some ranked opponents, but I feel like they usually start undefeated. So
yeah, I know last year they had dropped one early, but it was against a ranked team. So yeah, it's just always, yeah, those ones that you feel like they kind of got away, especially in a 5-set match. You know, but I trust that, you know, if anyone's going to bring them out of that, you know, it's definitely not a dark moment.
Yes.
The first weekend of the season. But
we have a Travis Hudson bobblehead back here somewhere. And Travis, we trust.
Yes.
We'll be all right, WKU. But some national leaders out of the first weekend. Savannah Cook from FIU ranking 8th. With 11.5 assists per set.
Also, one of our other Power 4 wins. I was going to say they Duke in their slate this
weekend.
Can't believe I forgot that one.
Yeah, great win there for the Panthers. And then Mia Fox at New Mexico State ranking 13th nationally with a 548 hitting percentage. So some good stuff out of CUSA volleyball in weekend number one. Excited for some more matchups in week number two. Like you said, WKU facing a ranked opponent, number 25 Dayton this Friday in that Marquette tournament. So we'll have to tune into that one. But moving over to women's soccer, a couple weekends under the belt there for women's soccer. Delaware coming out to a great start, their best start since 2006 at 5-0-1.
Yeah.
I know that Eric, who was covering our women's soccer for us, was super excited about that. Really looking good. And then Liberty, great weekend, 1-1 draw against number 24 Virginia, and a road shutout at Old Dominion. So some in-state foes that they're getting the better of, which is great for them.
They had already beaten James Madison early in the year, so yeah, gotta love seeing it. Hopefully that they can share some of that in-state luck with the football team, who still has yet to play James Madison and Old Dominion.
Yes.
So yeah, hope that keeps up. But yeah, great for, you know, Delaware. Got to love seeing the newbies getting some love.
Yeah.
I think we kind of expected this, again, from a school like Delaware. with how competitive they were in the CAA across all sports. Obviously, we talked a lot about that with Missouri State, too, and expect to see that as we get into some other sports seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome start for the Blue Men.
Some things that Eric shared with us earlier, though, Missouri State and New Mexico State not getting off to the start that some people expected, especially, I mean, Missouri State at the top of the conference in the preseason poll, you know, what we aren't really necessarily getting what we expect out of them, but both of them have played some really tough Power Four opponents. So we'll have to see how they fare out through the rest of the season. But another team that's doing really well and has a really big game coming up this weekend, one to watch, is Middle Tennessee. Right now they're 4-1-1, great record to start out the season, but they play number 25 Vanderbilt at home this Sunday, 6 o'clock PM.
In-state rivalry.
A little in-state rivalry. So they play at 6 PM. That game is on ESPN Plus. So that will definitely be one you want to tune into. And then Penn State, we talked about Liberty and their Power Four opponents. Mm-hmm. Penn State is visiting Liberty 12 o'clock Central Time on Sunday as well. So some great Conference USA women's soccer going on this Sunday.
Yeah. And then another note on Middle that Eric had shared too. Tyja Frazier for Middle Tennessee has 3 game-winning goals already. They have 4 wins as a team. She has 75. She's responsible for 75% of their wins.
That's crazy.
I think that she's definitely one to look out for in this Vanderbilt match.
All right. Yeah. So some great women's soccer, some great volleyball coming up this weekend. If you want to figure out what times those games are at and where to watch, be sure to go to conferenceusa.com and check out the schedules there. All right. Speaking of schedules, we've got week 2 of football coming up. Let's do a quick little preview of these matchups that we've got all on Saturday this week. No Thursday, Fridays. We've got 11 games, including one conference matchup this upcoming Saturday.
Yep. Yeah. So start off with with 3 games at 11 a.m., nice and early. Everyone, get your breakfast, your brunch in, whatever.
Your coffee or mimosa, whichever one that you would prefer.
Both,
yes.
In some cases. We got 2 teams, FIU and Kennesaw State, both playing at some ranked Big Ten opponents. So FIU at Penn State at 11 a.m. on Big Ten Network. Kennesaw at Indiana on FS1 at 11 a.m. as well. And then, Liberty Jack State. This is a huge one on the week 2 slate here. Last year it was a rematch of the championship from the year prior. We had Liberty and New Mexico State in week 2.
Mm-hmm.
This year we pit Liberty and Jack State, which, again, not a championship rematch, but obviously a huge matchup as you look ahead to the CUSA race for this year. A chance for Liberty to go on the road, potentially pick up a big win at Jack State, or a chance for Jack State to prove that their tight game against UCF was not a fluke.
Yep.
And a chance for them to really kind of show more of their identity in year 1 under Charles Kelly.
It's super exciting to have this matchup this early in the season. Like you said, this could have huge implications for December when we're looking at the Conference USA Football Championship. Great that it's on CBS Sports Network. You can watch it on live broadcast television.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
And I'm sure they don't love that, again, you know, if this ends up being the tiebreaker, right in 9 weeks, because you lost in week 2 when you were still figuring things out and all that. I'm sure that the coaching side, they probably don't love it.
We love it.
I'm sure the nation will love it, getting to see this game, what hopefully we think should be a great game,
mm-hmm.
And a really even matchup. But
and then I'm looking at Kennesaw State, Indiana still too, because there's some storyline there too. Dexter Williams was at Indiana.
Sure.
And so, you know, he had a stop in between there and Kennesaw State, but he is a former Hoosier.
Yeah.
And so he's going back to Bloomington, ranked opponent under the lights. Well, maybe not under the lights at 11 a.m. It does rain a lot in Bloomington, so you never go. But I'm excited to see that one too. And FIU versus Penn State. FIU, obviously, FCS opponent in week 1. What are they going to look like against Power Four opponent in week 2? I think there is a lot there to talk about. But another Power Four opponent for a Conference USA team following at 2:30 on Fox. Delaware taking on Colorado.
Yeah. And it's this one's going to be a weird one for us, right? Because obviously Caden Salter being QB1 in Colorado, it was a kind of up and down game for him. He made some really good plays, but there at the end of the game, you know, when they were kind of tossing some things up to try and get the win, wasn't looking so hot. But, obviously we know how talented Caden Salter can be. But we do also know that when, he's under pressure, when he's in those high pressure moments, or when he is facing the rush, he can
make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, now we're kind of like, you know, not that you'd ever root for a kid to make mistakes, but, you know, if I'm the Delaware defensive coordinator or anyone on their defensive staff, I'm like, all right, hey, we need to be, you know, we need to be causing some mayhem this week because, you know, if you are getting a couple of interceptions, you know, if you get a strip sack of Caden Salter, you know, that could be the difference maker, or at least keep you in the game a little bit longer. If you're able to get Nick Minicucci back out on the field, get some more points on the board. So that one, that's one that's definitely intriguing. That will be on Fox. So another, you know, big nationally televised game. And then the rest of the kind of early afternoon slate, we got Middle Tennessee at Wisconsin. Another tough one at a Big Ten opponent.
Yep.
Then we get into some really interesting games as we go through the evening and the night slate, the late night.
The
slate.
Late. Yes.
At 5 o'clock, we got Missouri State at Marshall. Marshall kind of, you know, again, they got throttled by Georgia in week one. So not really sure what to really expect out of them. But it was the same boat for Missouri State.
Yeah.
You know, we did see a great couple drives out of Jacob Clark against USC. But this will be a big one for both of these fan bases to say, OK, what does our team really look like? Right. And can Jacob Clark compete against kind of some comparable teams in other G5 conferences? Now on the road, that's going to be tough, right? Up there mm-hmm. in Huntington. But that's one that I'm really excited for. I think the biggest matchup of the week, the conference matchup is a big one too, but WKU at Toledo probably has the most at stake for us as a conference because of the hype around Toledo. They had a very impressive performance against Kentucky
yep.
week one. And this was a great game last year. For those of you who didn't tune in, it was kind of looking a little iffy at first. WKU got, you know, I think back to that. There were two plays there that really turned the needle for them. They had a big Cole Maynard punt that Rex Robich ran downs at the 2 yard line. They end up getting a safety that really, again, kind of flips the table for them, flips the momentum. They had WKU came up with a couple highlight reel interceptions late in the game. So that one was a super fun one. Now it goes back up to Toledo this year. So they got to go on the road, try and pull out some magic in that one.
But... And Toledo, I mean, thinking back to last year, you know, there's some guys still on that squad who are wanting revenge against the Tops. So I'm excited, though, to see what Maverick McIver and that offense can do and see if we can get some, you know, turnover Tops celebrations there on the sideline.
Yeah, I don't envy their DB's room this week that's trying to figure out how they're going to defend against these guys. Because the other thing, I mean, obviously we talked to Matthew and we know that he had a huge game in week one against Sam Houston, still contributed a decent amount in the win over North Alabama before they kind of pulled the guys. But what I've noticed in this WKU offense is, you know, maybe a couple of years ago, it was all Malachi Corley, right? Or it was all, you know, plug in any of these kind of wide receiver one names that they traditionally had. Now, Matthew Henry definitely fits that mold, but they have a lot of these other guys like the Katie Hutchinsons of the world that are still getting, you know, 2-3 catches a game.
Right.
So they are able to spread the ball out so much more this year with some of the guys they brought in that, yeah, I mean, you may think, all right, let's double Matthew Henry. Okay, well, now you got single coverage on Katie Hutchinson. Or, okay, you're playing cover two against these guys, but okay, now they've got, you know, some other guys in the slot or Noah Myers in the tight end position that Maverick McIver's just eating them alive kind of in that short to medium range.
Right.
So,
and not to mention Maverick McIver got pulled from the game last week, so there's right. not as much film on him as they would hope to have. So
yeah, and I think WKU's been playing fairly progressively. You know, they're taking some bigger shots and playing just kind of some dink and dunk offense. I don't think that they've really rolled out some of the big punches yet.
Yeah.
So this will be one where they're really going to need to lean on some things that they know Maverick can do well, assuming that they're going to be in a close game at the end of this one.
All right. Another Power Four matchup, Louisiana Tech at LSU. Always one to watch because you just never know. Although the Tigers looked very, very good against Clemson this
really
past weekend.
Yeah.
My brother is an LSU graduate, went to LSU, very big fan. And he was telling me that the last time that LSU won their season opener, they won the national championship. So there's a lot of that happening.
This is true.
All the mojo. So
yeah, that's a tough stat to
to try and overcome. Yeah. But who knows? The Bulldogs could ruin it for them in week two.
I mean, I think what I'm watching for this one, obviously, we talked a lot about La Tech's defense. I mean, that's going to be key to trying to keep LSU off the board as much as you can, right? Now, I don't think that they have the offense they did in 2019, where they were basically fielding an NFL Pro Bowl roster as a college team. But yeah, I mean, they're going to need some guys to make plays on this defense to try and get to that third quarter, right? Mm-hmm. To stay in the game, give the offense a chance, give this Tony Franklin offense a chance to surprise some people. I'm by no means picking that La Tech is going to upset LSU this week. I think that this is their chance to show that they are a better team than people think. And in the same way that Southeastern Louisiana was able to hold with La Tech for that long in that game, I think I anticipate them, you know, being able to hang in this game with LSU. I think we talked about it in their preview where, you know, Louisiana is obviously such a tight-knit state, especially at the high school ranks. They have a ton of talent that comes out of the New Orleans area, the Baton Rouge area.
Right.
That, you know, these rosters are full of those guys, and they know each other, right? You know, one way or another, these guys know each other. So there's just that added edge, right? That, like, they don't want to go in there and get their tails, you know, be in Death Valley.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be, it's going to be more competitive than people think.
Yep.
So
love it.
I'm excited for that one in the evening slate. And then Tulsa, New Mexico State, I kind of mentioned that, you know, that one's going to be a great litmus test for them. You're at home again, get a chance to, again, roll out a little bit more with Logan Fife, the quarterback position, let him make some more plays. And then we finish the night, UT Martin at UTEP. I think this will be a chance for UTEP to get in the win column mm-hmm. for a tough one week one against Utah State. And then if you're willing, stay up until midnight Eastern. You can catch Sam Houston at Hawaii. Kind of a bummer because I don't know that Sam Houston expected to be 0-2 on a spot. You thought maybe if you were 1-1, you'd have a little added motivation to go out. I mean, this is a tough trip. It's a tough
thing
to go out to Hawaii and try and beat them. You're mm-hmm. going to be tired. You're going to be disoriented because of the time change and the travel and all that. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
CUSA After Dark is back. If you're an OG Conference USA person, then you know what CUSA After Dark is. Lots of baseball games that happen after midnight. Yeah. Some football. This is not the first time we've played Hawaii at Hawaii in the last couple of years. So
I was gonna say there's been some other times where we were forced to play that late in the night. Yeah. Like Liberty East Carolina that had a 3 or 4 hour lightning delay,
right?
And I had to stay up and watch that one because that one had obviously a lot more on the line with Liberty being undefeated at that point in the year. But big week two slate. I'm excited.
Yeah, should be some good stuff. So we've got football all day for you from 11 a.m. Central Time to 11 p.m. Central Time. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you want to make sure that you catch all of the action, be sure that you are following us on social media, Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, and Instagram at CUSA Insider Pod. If you want to catch all of these episodes, please watch and enjoy being able to see us on video. You can find us on YouTube. You just search Conference USA, and we've got a CUSA Insider podcast playlist right there on the homepage for you. But if you're one of our audio-only listeners, you are more than welcome to still listen to us on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music. All right, everyone, that is it for me today. Thank you so much for listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.